Cuckoo.
Cuckoo.
It is a truth universally acknowledged that a single man in possession of a good fortune must be in want of a wife.
You know, that's what I hear. That is what I hear. Welcome to Europhile. My name is Kate Walker.
And I'm Catherine Rory.
And we're going to do something different today. We're going to talk about the masterpiece that is Pride and Prejudice 2005.
Yes. You didn't pick up on that already.
Yeah. Okay. So disclaimers.
Yeah.
Not Austen heads. I love Jane Austen, but I'm not like a scholar of her.
I agree.
I'm sorry. Okay. And what is there to say that hasn't already been dissected under the microscope by people smarter than us?
Yes. But like, do we love this movie? Yes.
Yes.
Is it a Europhile top film? Yes.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. I just thought, I was like, you know what? We should talk about a movie. It's fun. And of course, what's the first one we want to talk about? It's Pride and Prejudice.
We will not talk about the only other movie that we have discussed on this podcast, Bram Stoker's Dracula, in which I just said the entire plot, which no one needs to listen to that. So
that
we're
was,
doing it.
Like episode three of our podcast.
Yeah, it was like right in the beginning. And I'm sure it was like 2 hours long, like just crazy, like just absolutely insane. Edit down. But we won't be doing that.
No.
This is quite an old book. You know what happens.
We all know what happens.
You've seen adaptations of this. You've seen, you know, I'm sure some of you have read the book. Some of you have seen TV series. Some of you have seen the actual Pride and Prejudice 2005. Masterpiece by Joe Wright.
His directorial debut, as a matter of fact.
Which is so crazy that they gave him this thing, this giant piece of literature.
You're going to
conquer
one of the most famous books in the world for your first film.
Good fucking luck, Joe. Yeah. And you know what? He did it.
He did a great job.
I also want to preface this. This is not a 1995 hate
Certainly
episode
not.
Either. Mm-mm. It is a total different thing. And I saw this quote recently where it was like, the 1995 miniseries is how the book is read. So it's accurate.
Yes.
And then the 2005 movie is how it feels.
Oh, I love that. Okay.
So it's different things. And sometimes you want different vibes. Sometimes you want to get into the nitty gritty and see what happens to everyone. So you watch the miniseries.
Yeah.
But sometimes you just want to look at two hands touch, you know?
Oh my God. Oh, we're going to talk about that. We have to talk about that.
Obviously, you know, like I said, there's a miniseries, but it has been done several times before that, before our Mr. Darcy Colin Firth stepped into the Masterpiece
Change
Theater
the
frame.
Game.
In 1938, 1952, 1967, 1980. I would love to see the 80s one and see.
Me too. It's probably terrible.
I know. It's probably bad.
Like,
but
they probably have like 80s hair in like Regency or Georgian dress.
I know.
It can't be good.
There was only one movie ever made before the 2005 version. So, and it was with Laurence Olivier and Greer Garson. Have you ever seen
that? I have never seen it.
I have.
You have?
Mm-hmm.
How do you feel about it? Because my immediate reaction is like, Laurence Olivier is not Mr. Darcy.
He's not my Mr. Darcy.
Okay. Got it.
He's not mine. He's one
he
that
is
exists.
One. Okay.
The first version I have ever seen of any Pride and Prejudice thing was the 2005 one.
Me too.
So that is my reference. Matthew McFadden is the reference to Darcy.
Absolutely. I remember very well the first time that I saw this movie. I'm going to guess it was about 2007. So I was probably like 13, prime age to be woken. And it was on TV and my sister was like, I'm watching this movie and you're gonna sit down and you're gonna watch it too.
Wow, thanks,
my
Claire.
Sister, everyone is 9 years older than me, so she's she knows what's up. She knew
well
what was
versed.
Up long before I did. Yeah, my mind was blown. the improvement of my life that day was tenfold. Changed my life, honestly. Yeah. Like, it opened the door to so many incredible books and films and TV series in my and utter joy and emotion and love and sadness. Like, I really could stem it back to that. It's like a huge reason of why I'm a Europhile, probably, is this film.
Oh, honestly, yeah. Little baby me.
Yeah.
I think I was in high school watching this,
yeah.
or maybe college. I was probably in college. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
For those of you who have read Jane Austen, you know that Pride and Prejudice is an incredibly dialogue-heavy masterpiece. Mm-hmm. It doesn't
the
have
witch.
That much world building. They just assume, or I think she would just assumes that you know what's going on.
Yeah.
So she wrote the initial draft around 1797. And that is when Joe decides to set his book to be historically accurate. So
I think that's a brilliant move.
Regency. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a great distinction to make, and an important one, because a lot of costume people get their knickers in a tizzy that it's not Regency and it's not meant to be. And
it's,
you know,
Georgian.
Why? It's Georgian. And he said he hated Empire Waste. So I think that is also an important thing. And I agree. It's not flattering. In the 1995
ladies look terrible.
I know.
I'm sorry, they look terrible. And the tight ringlets,
which may
have been, I wouldn't know. Maybe they are historically accurate. They're not.
They're
cute.
Probably more. They're more accurate, I feel like, than
like
what was going on in 2005. But I mean, there always is the fine line of where they went with artistic direction rather than historical, you know, mm-hmm. accuracy.
Joe Wright, do whatever the hell you want to do. Take it in any direction. Like, I am there, and it will be my favorite always.
And he's a Virgo, so you know he's getting those
particular
details, getting mm-hmm. those details yeah. in there.
I gotta bless him for it.
I think a lot of this stems from when it was published. You know, they think it's Regency because it was published in 1813. You know when it was published? What day?
No.
Today.
Shut up.
Yeah.
That is so weird.
I know.
Oh my God. Okay,
I know.
January 28th, 1813. That's incredible.
But you said that it was his first mm-hmm. film, mm-hmm. and he had never read Pride and Prejudice before signing on to this project.
Shocking.
Because he said it was too posh. That's why he never read it, which is like, oh my God, what a snob you are.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, Lizzie, what a snob you are.
Oh, we're going to get into quotes.
Oh, too, we're going to get into
it. This movie is so quotable.
Okay, so let's start in the beginning. So the opening credits, the opening scene. When you hear yes. those birds chirp, you know it's on.
Phone is being put down. I am tuning in.
Locked in.
The music by Dario Marinelli swells.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Swells with the capture of a whisper of the first sunlight in the dawn. Fucking you're right. Oh, okay.
Every shot is like an oil painting.
It's sickening.
And it's so beautiful. The light, mm-hmm. his play with light is so scrumptious and gorgeous.
Delicious.
Oh,
I
wow.
Could eat it up with whipped cream, you know?
Yeah.
How delicious it is. The first time we see our Lizzie,
mm-hmm.
she's walking, which honestly impressive, reading a book. And she's reading a book called First Impressions, which it's an inside joke because that was the first name for Pride and Prejudice until it got changed.
That is literally
and
news to me.
Just little tidbits like that, just strewn in the movie, make it so good.
Yeah,
make
perfectly
it
done. Okay. That is so great. I mean, mm-hmm. the name Pride and Prejudice is better, but First Impressions.
It is. Yeah,
also
I would agree.
Solid.
First Impressions is a good starting off place.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, and this is when we're introduced to the very realistic haircut. that Kira is wearing in this film. And honestly, like at some points it's like stringy, greasy bangs. And I'm like, what's happening here? Like, give her some volume. Like, I don't know.
She does look a little frumpy in this.
She does, in like this brown linen dress. Like,
so I love that she's in like earthy tones this entire time. She's not a flashy girl. She's not about that.
She's sensible.
She's the second best looking in their family.
Yes.
And I like that distinction.
Yeah. And like Jane gets all the good things. Like,
and
Jane...
she is the quintessential English Rose.
Rosamund. God, she is perfect. Absolutely perfect. Did you know? Oh my God. Okay. I'm just jumping into random trivia now. That Joe Wright and Rosamund Pike dated?
Wait. Yes, I think so. But after.
Who did she date before?
I do
you
know
told
this.
Me this one.
It's Mr. Bingley, which is crazy because I think they dated for quite a few years. And I think that Joe Wright was like, had already picked Rosamund and were like, and was like, hey, can I cast this guy? I know you guys dated. Yeah. And she was like, oh my God, of course. That's why she's the best.
Yes.
She's better than me. She's better
I'd,
than me.
I'd be like, are you kidding? Absolutely not.
I know. Yeah. I'd be like, wish him all the best. Fuck you.
Yeah. I don't want to look at you every day, all day on set. Are you kidding? Serious? Please. I did not know. I learned this from IMDb that Emma Thompson was an uncredited writer on the film. I had no idea. Just because she like gave some ideas on like direction and like certain lines. But I was like, that's so cute. She probably is like a huge Austin head herself. And like, obviously she was in Sense and Sensibility, which is another
one. She wrote it.
So perfect. Oh my
God.
She won an
Oscar
I did not even
for
know that.
That.
Wow. That's did not know that. But I love knowing that. Like she probably couldn't help herself.
I know. I read an article. It was Joe Wright obviously begged her to help him because, you know, he's not familiar with the material.
Yeah. Oh, sweet. Also, it's so fun looking back at this because it's like full of stars. Who knew Carey Mulligan would become a breakout star because like they make her so plain in this movie and she's such a
beauty.
She's
so young.
Yeah, so young. I think it might have been her first film, actually.
I think
and
you're right.
Jenna Malone. Too.
Yes.
Like these names that people know now, just like, so I just love that. Like, this is where they got their start. And imagine just how fun it would be. Like, all these, you know, teenage and 20 something girls together, like acting as sisters on set.
Did you
like,
know
I just
Mary,
love that.
Mary was married to Elon Musk?
Yes.
That is
bizarre.
Bizarre. And
Tallulah Riley,
fact.
Right? Yeah. Very bizarre. Glad she's
glad
no longer
she
with them.
There.
Glad she's free. Yeah.
But it is fun to see, you know, we see obviously her coming inside the house, Lizzie coming inside the house, and we see the house is lived in. It's
very
not perfect.
Much so.
You see the dresses all over their dining room table that they're mending, fixing, all the ribbons. Mary's playing the piano. Everyone's running around. Like,
like paint chipping off the
is
walls.
Real. Yeah.
Paintings askew on the wall.
Right.
Yeah. Very different from the 1995 version.
And then we hear that Netherfield is let. The
it's
girls
let
are in a tizzy because they are hoping for a match, right?
Right, of course. Yeah.
He has 5,000 pounds and it wouldn't matter if he has warts and a leer.
So good. Who has warts? Wow.
I think it's important here to discuss that the Bennets aren't really poor necessarily, and they're not really from a bad family. I mean, ridiculous, that's another issue.
Yes.
But they have land and they just never had a son to pass on the estate to. They just don't have that much like liquid money.
And then having five girls.
Yeah.
Like,
who are ridiculous.
Yes. Like I too would be like Mrs. Bennet, be fretting all the time. Like what's going to happen to them? Because
I know
they'll have nothing, honestly.
Because you know what is not a happy ending? Ending up poor.
Ending up poor and alone. And that's what we love about our
girl,
alone, Jane.
If you're not poor, not too
Yes,
bad.
That's true. Yeah. But like what we love about our girl Jane, everyone ends up rich and in love. Yeah.
She really looks out for the girls.
Yes. Yeah.
In all of her work. And if you don't play by the rules of society, then you don't get a happy ending. And that doesn't, you know, that doesn't have anything to do with Pride and Prejudice necessarily, but just all of her work and just in general. She said, play by the rules.
Yeah.
And then you'll get yours.
She right? is a rule follower, that's for sure.
Yeah.
We learn that Mr. Bennett, without the girl's knowledge, has introduced himself to Mr. Bingley, the new rich young neighbor. Right. And all the girls are thrilled that, you know, this introduction has been made. And maybe, you know, the next time we see him, we are going to like all get introduced. And hopefully he likes one of us.
Right. And that is quite literally the bare minimum that their father could do for them is get introduced. Like,
honestly,
you didn't make enough money. I know. He having favorites. I know.
Ugh. And just like letting, we'll get to it, but like just letting Lydia go to Brighton. Like
he did not care.
Knew that was going to be bad. He did not give a fuck. He really does not care about his family, honestly.
Well, sometimes. He likes the oldest two.
Yeah.
He only really likes
especially Lizzie.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I do have issues with him sometimes. But like, would I also go insane in that house? Yeah. But like,
it is. There's a lot of yelling going on.
Yeah, yeah. So, okay, on to the town ball, which is one of my favorite scenes because, like, it sets everything up and it's the introduction to our Mr. Darcy and Mr. Bingley and Caroline Bingley.
Yeah. I think it's good to note that, you know, during this time, the English are seeing the French Revolution happen and are wondering what will happen to them if they don't assimilate with the lower classes and sort of make friends.
Yeah.
And so that's why these assembly hall or assembly room dances in village halls were important. And that's why they attend, because they got scared mingle. Of getting the guillotine.
I love that. Like, I had no idea that until you told me. Like, it makes perfect sense because I never have wondered why they would be there. I thought it was just like, you know, a small community.
I know, but you're like, oh, let's go out. Like, yeah. No, it's not like
that does
really.
Not happen. Yeah.
It's also an important distinction at that time where they're seeing what's happening in France. And so now the girls are being introduced to people who they could potentially marry, widening their prospects immensely.
And if you're as pretty as Jane, of course you are going to catch
someone's a good match.
Eye. And like, hopefully it is someone a good, but like you have the pressure on you too. Like she has to do well by all of her sisters, you know?
Just don't write her any poetry.
No.
I don't think Bingley is writing her any poetry, so it's okay.
Absolutely not.
He's bringing her flowers from his walks.
I love Bingley. I prefer him to Mr. Darcy, honestly. He's so fun.
Because he's actually a good time.
Like, yeah, like, I'm sorry, Mr. Darcy's not making you laugh. Like, yes, he's an upstanding man and like will do anything for you. And I love that about him. Mm-hmm. But like it would not be the type that I go for. I think I would be going for Bingley, who's just like a fun, nice person.
Yeah. The thing about me is I would absolutely go for Darcy. And that is why I need therapy. That says more about me than him. So anxious attachment.
We'll have to unpack that.
Yeah. Obviously, he says something not that nice during this scene.
He's lying to himself and to others.
So he makes a quip about her being barely tolerable, right?
Yeah, not handsome enough to tempt me.
No.
Yeah, like, if I heard that.
What was the point of that?
Yes, yeah.
I looked it up and there's not a point. He's just being annoying.
We just
want to
hate him. We just want to, he's just being pompous.
He's just crabby that he's mingling with these people.
And like, he's this already a socially awkward person to begin with. He probably doesn't want to be going out ever.
I read that somewhere someone said that he's giving like autistic kind of vibes, which are like social anxiety, something like that.
Yeah,
but
I could see
he
that.
He does open up later.
I mean, and then of course, like, we love our dear Lizzie. She has to get back at him, and they're all in a, now they've all met and they're in a having a little conversation about poetry and all those things. And then
poetry being the food of love.
Yes. Of a fine stout, love it may. and then she says that she loves dancing, even if one's partner is barely tolerable.
Just staring him in the eyes.
Yeah. And then she just walks away. And like
twist of her heel, walks away.
And hook, line, and sinker.
Yeah, he said.
Yeah. I'm in love. That? I've got a crush.
She's actually kind of tolerable. Kind of like her.
And then, oh my God, you know what is so for the girls is it's so me and my sister too. Like going home and then gossiping in bed and like giggling and like snickering together about like who you have a crush
underneath
on.
Underneath the covers, and, like, that yeah, shot. Like,
so good. I just love that so much.
I could kiss him. I could kiss him for that. That is girlhood. Like, how do you know about that?
How?
Who clued you in? Somebody cooked
that
here.
Is very astute. Yeah.
Weird.
It's the morning after ball, the ball, and Jane gets a letter from Netherfield. And, you know, everyone's all excited. However, Mr. Bingley will be dining out. He's playing it cool, probably. Of course, though, she has to go because, like, she has to start getting tight with this family. And, like, you know, we have Caroline, who could be, like, a chic new London friend.
Right.
You know, even though she's obviously a bitch.
Hag.
And obviously is in love with Mr. Darcy.
Right.
Sorry, babe, that's not going to happen.
Yeah.
Mrs. Bennet knows what she's doing because she's not going to let Jane take the carriage because it looks like rain. Like, so conniving. Honestly, I love it. Like, she's doing what she has to do. She's matchmaking.
Her skills in matchmaking are positively occult.
Obviously, she goes to the Bingleys, she gets sick, and then Elizabeth has to go get her. And this is one of my favorite quotes is, did you see her hem 6 inches deep in mud? She looked positively medieval. Like, the way she says it, medieval, like, scratches my brain, and I love it so much. And my family still says that quote a lot.
Iconic. Very good quote. I think why they mentioned the dirty hem is because Joe Wright talks about how he wanted it to have a dirty hem feel. So they literally mention it. They wanted this movie to have the lived-in feel, to see the breadcrumbs on the tables, that sort of the paint peeling, that sort of thing.
Brilliant.
I know.
And then this is when we learn that the regiment are coming into town also.
Ugh.
This is like also connected to France because there was a fear that Bonaparte would cross the English Channel and attack. So that's why there are militias gathering.
Oh, that makes sense. Yeah.
I never thought about it. Like, why are they there? It's probably just like local men, you know, coming into town or like coming from afar to come together, train, all those things, like prepare to protect England should Bonaparte invade. And of course, you know, the youngest sisters are freaking out because they love men of any type, but like a man in a uniform is so Kitty and Lydia's vibe, you know?
Yeah.
And
I
just
get
like,
it when you're young. Oof.
Oh, for sure. And just delicious. Like, oh, here are new men in town, you know? That could be another.
Drop a handkerchief and see what happens.
could be another advantageous match. Or you could meet one of the worst people. Mr. Wickham, for example. Mr. Wickham. I'm sorry. Another thing. So like what's happening at the same time is like the militia's in town. Okay, now we know. And now we're back at Netherfield Park and they're talking about young women being accomplished. And my issue is like, why does Mr. Darcy think about this so much? Why does he care so much? Like, who are you?
I feel like because his sister feels very accomplished, you know, her little delightful design of a table or whatever.
Her pianoforte skills.
Caroline says. And just her general accomplishments. I feel like he might hold her at a very high standard or the standard for him, I would say. Maybe. Yeah. That's just my
And like, take it's on probably that. Just pretty classist too, because he's like,
oh, 1,000%.
So wealthy. Like, of course, someone like
10,000 a year.
Yeah. Which is, I don't even, a disgusting amount of hundreds of millions, I think, in today's money.
And an actual house. Like, Bingley doesn't own a house. He let a house.
That's so true. I don't know. I just like noted that down because I was just like, why do you care so much about this? And like, it's, I love that Lizzie, she can't play piano well. She says she's not a good drawer. Like,
she
later
is
when, like, yeah, like, what?
Like, when
what
someone's like, do you have any hobbies? I'm like, nothing, literally nothing.
Yeah. And like, can she speak several languages? I doubt that. Who would have taught her?
She doesn't have a governess.
No. And he
That's another
ends
reason
up loving
to hate
her ever
their parents.
Anyway. Yes. Yeah, I know. Like, how did that not
You're not
happen?
Setting them up for success.
It's all Mr. Bennett's fault. I can already tell you that. And then
he might be the real evil.
Yeah, he is. I don't know. Yeah. I'm like, I need to
evil entity
unpack
of
more
this.
About him.
I know.
And then, of course, the rest of the Mrs. Bennett, a Miss Bennett, a Miss Bennett, and a Miss Bennett, sir.
Sitting on
down. And this is when they convince Mr. Bingley to throw a ball. So that's going to become important later. Mm-hmm. But you know what comes next? The Bennett's
leave. You know.
And we have the touching of the hands.
The touch.
And then the flex of the hands, like, ah!
And she feels it. You see her face and you see his hand flex.
Yes.
I guess normally they would be gloved.
Right.
The touching of skin.
Yeah. So intimate. So sexy. Oh. Joe. Joe loves hands. And I
Joe is a girl's girl, and that's
it's girly pop.
And that's real.
And like, I feel like there are several tropes that he does in all of his movies, and I will eat them up every time.
Hands.
It's hands. And then also when they do this in Anna Karenina 2, they're dancing in a room and then all of a sudden everyone disappears and it's only them two in a room. And like, this is
that is such
gonna
a
happen
trope.
Later in Pride and Prejudice. Like, perfect. I will never be over it. Give it to me every time. Give me the hands and give me the dancing alone. It's perfect.
I know. It's like, you know, when you're on a good date, that happens. The room fades away.
Yes.
It happens.
Yeah.
He gets it.
And then something as innocent as a hand touch, like, electrifies you.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's all they have.
That is.
That's all
that,
they've got to go
and
on.
And that is scandalous. Like, you know.
I know. Because how do you gauge physical chemistry?
Yeah, you can't.
There are limited options for that.
Yeah. Until you're engaged, then maybe
there's
you
dancing
can kiss
with your parents in the room.
Yes.
And then
yeah. And you're jumping around with like your hand, yeah, your gloved hands touching every once in a while. Like, you don't get that close.
No.
Anyway, yeah, major moment in the film.
Mm-hmm.
What comes up next? We have the dreaded Mr. Collins enters the
Mr.
picture.
Collins. The dreaded cousin.
The dreaded cousin. Who, he makes me laugh so much. Like, this
He's
actor.
So good. Brilliant.
I think his name is Tom Hollander or something like that. Mm-hmm. But his weird little haircut, this little mullet with the mini bangs.
I know.
And the way he's always looking up
he's
through
the vicar.
His brow. Mm-hmm. Like, he's already small. And then he's like glaring up at you, like from under his eyebrows. It's just so good. It's
Brilliant.
So good. Like, what a slimy little creepy weirdo.
And he just can't stop talking.
No.
That would just turn me off enough. He just
so
won't
annoying.
Stop talking. Can I read to you Fordyce's sermons?
Dear God, no.
No.
Yeah. And look, of course, what excellent boiled potatoes.
It's been years since I've had such an exemplary vegetable.
Freak. Except they honestly do look really good.
They look buttered and herbed.
Oh, I'm gonna make that later.
If the Brits have one thing on lock, it's a potato.
Absolutely, in any form. And then in this scene is when Lady Catherine is introduced, who will become a character later in the film. And this is when Mrs. Bennett annoyingly points him.
She's
in,
also on the opposition list for this,
like,
suggestion.
Come on.
Like, I get it. So, like, one of the girls can stay in the house, get the estate. I get it. But that man
is insufferable.
That's
so
not a
she,
win.
she points him in Lizzie's direction, and he all of a sudden becomes obsessed. And I think we all know what it's like to have someone
like
undesirable, upset. Like, I think we've all had a Mr. Collins, and you're like, why me? It's literally has nothing to do with me. It's like,
yeah,
I happen to be the person crossing paths with you that day.
And you just locked in.
Yeah. And you're like, you, it has nothing to do with us. You know, like they were just like, I'm obsessed with you. And so yeah. I think that's what makes, like, we all know what that feels like to have like some weirdo just obsessed with
it's
you.
It's just too real. And it's like, you try to be polite about things, but there is only so much you can do to swerve someone yes. who is so motivated.
Yeah, it's bizarre.
He's got to get Lady Catherine's money. He's motivated.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. And then another character enters the scene shortly after. Mm-hmm. The girls are in town and they run into Mr. Wickham. I have to say it like that.
I'm
going to
do
time.
It every time. I'm going to repeat it.
Who do we think he's hot? Because I do. And I would let him ruin my life.
No.
To me, he is like an Orlando Bloom. They
Whoa.
Could be brothers.
Whoa.
Am I wrong? They look like brothers
agree.
To me. Like they have the same blueprint. And or I mean, Orlando, he is nothing in
They're
comparison
the same
to
mold,
Orlando Bloom.
Let's say maybe. Yes.
And Orlando Bloom was like my number one as a kid. Number one love. To me, this man is
Legolas.
Like the, yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. Legolas, so graceful, so elegant.
So beautiful.
So beautiful. Like, wow. And this man to me is like a D-list version or something somehow of
the knockoff version. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think he's hot. And I love that he and Kira dated in real life.
I know. It's so
like,
funny.
So 2000s British hot.
Keira Knightley in her low-rise jeans with her
underwear
always showing.
Yes.
With
like
he's
a
Rupert,
newsboy.
Right?
Yes. Yeah.
His name. Yeah.
And like a newsboy cap on and
I
like
know.
A baby tee with her like streaky blonde highlighted short hair.
Yeah. Oh.
Wow.
What a
moment.
time.
Yeah.
Like but, her and Rupert, and then her and Jamie Dornan.
Oh yeah. Replace Rupert for Jamie. She was still rocking those incredible
things.
Outfits.
I know.
But I love, like, I would, when they're in the ribbons shop and she literally checks him out from, she looks him up and down from behind, like, love that. That is so fun.
I know.
And he's so cute and flirty. Like, and he like immediately singles her out. Like, I would so eat that up.
And I think he tries for her because she's more of his equal, right? Than we learn later of who his previous conquests were, who his future conquests were. Like, she's someone, I feel like there are a lot of guys like that where it's like, they just fuck around. They just fuck around.
For
and,
sure.
And they don't really fuck around with you necessarily because they know they can't.
Yes. Yeah.
And that's what happens to Lizzie, where it's like, you know, if he was going to actually take a real step with Lizzie, he'd have to reform himself. He'd have to do some work on himself.
Yeah. Yeah. And he's not the one to do that.
No, he wants the easy way out.
Mm-hmm. And this is where we see that him interact with Mr. Darcy, too. And we learn that they hate each other, which would drive me towards Mr. Wickham again so much more. Because like I already hate Mr. Darcy.
You already talk shit about me to my face.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Even though there are some mixed emotions there from the hands and like, yeah, I hate you, but I'm attracted to you or something like
I
that.
Know.
Mm-hmm. And then there's this like cutie who's being nice to me and like doting on my little sisters. And like, yeah, like I would so believe I would be so.
I know the ribbon shop.
Believing. Yeah.
Would kind of melt me a little bit, I think.
Oh, it does. It's perfectly. Mm-hmm.
The shame of the regiment.
Yeah.
What do your spirits do with you?
So we get to the ball at Mr. Bingley's. I'm calling it the white ball. I don't know why. Everyone's dressed in white. Right off the bat, I'm giving out the best dressed award. It's going to Caroline Bingley in her Danielle
Empire
Frankel.
Waste.
That's true, but she looks good. It's outrageous. This skinnier
definitely
straps.
Definitely an artistic.
Yeah. It
take
looks
on
like
that.
A Danielle Frankel wedding dress to me. Everything she wears is like Danielle Frankel. Like,
I know.
Danielle Frankel watched and loved this movie and then started designing
and
dresses.
Said,
like, I am convinced.
I'm just going to go with that. So she is wearing an Empire Waist dress, and she does wear Empire Waist things, mm-hmm. and it's because she would have access to the newest designs. So she's yes. like the one who steps into Regency first,
mm-hmm. yes,
because she has money. Like,
great. Okay, that never occurred to me. That yeah, makes perfect sense. Wow. See?
And you see the older women; they're corseted.
Yes. Yeah. Like Lady Catherine, yes. Mrs. Bennet. They are old fashioned. Even
they're
I noticed
snatched.
Extras, older women extras in this ball were all yeah. in older, more old fashioned looking, frilly. Yeah. Corset.
That's kind of interesting though, because does it work like that? Like older women do change and morph into what is, I don't know.
I could see.
What fashion is going on, I should say.
Maybe not these ladies, because Lady Catherine de Bourgh is an old hag stuck in her ways. And then Mrs. Bennet is probably wanting to spend money to make her like to make Jane look nice.
That's true.
She's already taken like.
That's true. She looks good, honestly.
Snatched. Oh, she does. Yeah, she totally looks great. Okay, so we gave up my best dressed award is going to Caroline. And then best hair is going to Lizzie.
With the pearls.
The pearls. That is so cute. Like, I know. That would
it is
be
so
me.
Cute. I'm going to say controversial best hair. Mm. I would agree with you, actually, but I'm going to put something else into the ring.
Okay, please.
I'm going to put Georgiana's half up curls.
Oh, yeah. The very time and era appropriate. Yeah.
It's so informal. And obviously that happens later on. But she, to me...
it's
just
so
the
cute.
Picture of girlish delight.
Yeah, that's so true. Like there is like an angel quality about her with like these
golden
curls.
She
really is
angelic. Yes.
Yeah.
But I would say best dress for me is Lizzie's dress with the sheer sleeves in the white ball. Yeah.
Yes, love the. She is looking 10 out of 10. Mm-hmm. Great. I mean, for Mr. Collins just being as foul as ever. Lingering always
behind
Lizzie.
Oh my god, with the
Lizzie.
Elbow.
Oh, Mr. Darcy?
Dodging the elbow.
Yeah, that is so good. That makes me laugh every time. Like, this is a comedy. Jane mm-hmm. is such a comedic writer. Joe captured it perfectly. Like, I laugh mm-hmm. out loud watching
Mrs.
these.
Bennet.
Oh, so embarrassed. So she's the cringe. Clown. So cringe. But, and then like, oh, obviously we have Mr. Collins, like always lingering, but we also have Darcy always kind of lingering and looking at her and like, just
he's
feel
in it to win it.
Yeah.
He's in it to win it now.
And like, he's down bad. And I love that.
Yeah. And she's confused. She's unaware at this point.
Yeah.
She's like, why does he want to dance with me? Like what? Like laughing with Charlotte.
Did I
like,
just
what?
Agree to dance with Mr. Darcy? Would be most convenient since I was sworn to loathe him for all eternity. And then they giggle like, oh, it's so girly girlhood.
Well, and it's just like most things and most ways of, you know, men courting, even today, you're just like, what?
Yeah, coming out of left field.
What the hell?
And then all of a sudden, like on the spot, we're forced to make a decision about it.
Yeah.
And you're like,
I guess I'll dance with you.
Yes.
Even though I'm literally staring in the room for someone else.
Yes. Oh, Mr. Wickham isn't
there. He doesn't even come.
For Mr. Wickham. Yeah. One dumb aside, I will say, Kira and Rosamund's posture is unmatched. Every time I see them in this scene, I am like, I have to all of a sudden sit up straight because like they look so good in these dresses and they look so graceful and elegant. And I'm like, wow, I really.
Speaking of accomplished ladies,
yeah.
The posture is part
That's
of
all you need.
An accomplishment. Yeah.
Yeah. So let's get to the dance. Darcy and Lizzie are dancing. Mm-hmm. The chokehold that this song had on me, a letter to Henry Purcell, if Spotify Wrapped had existed. Back then, it would be year after year because I think I was studying every quiz I studied for, every test, every walk I went on, and it was on. I love that song so much. Again, Dario Marianelli. I'm so butchering that. Mm-hmm. He did the music for this. He did the music for Atonement, and he won the Oscar for Atonement.
Wow.
So we got a stacked.
My favorite short film.
Oh, they have a dinner party, and then it's over.
That's it. They're together. They're just
sadness.
Touching hands underneath the dinner table, and that's it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Briny doesn't fuck anything up.
Fuck you, Briny. You're on my shit list.
Yeah.
And then we get to the worst point. One of the worst points in this film.
Cringe.
Is when Mr. Collins asks Lizzie if he can talk to her in private, and she is looking around the table at all of the family members scrambling. She doesn't care at this point if she's being rude. She's like, Papa, don't leave. And her mother could not get out of that room quicker. Mm-hmm. She said, like the Roadrunner out of that room. And her dad was like, obviously being so annoying, inept and annoying. And not helpful.
Yeah, he is on my shit list, honestly. The more I watch this movie, I'm like, you are maybe the worst of them all.
He does redeem himself after she does inevitably say, are you fucking real?
The Hell way no. He literally puts like a weed down. It's like he gives her a flower, but it's literally like a weed, a singular weed flower. And ask, and obviously, she
Imagine
says no.
You get a weed. Okay, you get a weed from him, and then you get an entire estate from someone else. Okay.
She knows in her heart of hearts that she's gonna find something better.
I'd rather
than
be
this.
Destitute than deal with this. Four dice of sermons for hours in the evening.
Yeah.
So obviously she says no and runs out of the house, and her mom is pissed. Threatening her with not seeing
her again.
And her dad does do a solid and say,
from this day on, you will be a stranger to one of your parents. Your mother will not speak to you again if you don't marry Mr. Collins, and I will never speak to you again if you do.
And me in the seats being like,
he pulled through on that one. Like, good Lord. So, woo, she swerved that, at least. She stuck up
thank
for
God.
Herself.
And it's fine. She's fine with her family. She's fine with basically everyone else. Yeah. She's in the same predicament as if he wouldn't have, proposed to her. So it's fine. Basically, she'll be all right. Mm-hmm. She's still hoping Mr. Wickham, I think. She's still holding
for
that
sure.
out, even though he's gone.
Yeah.
Obviously, the Bingleys leave. They leave Netherfield.
Back to the city. Jane's sad.
It's a disappointment for the family.
They had a great time at the ball. So it's kind of surprising.
Everyone's confused, honestly. Yeah. I wonder why he left.
Darcy. So Jane then goes to London with her aunt and uncle.
This is what I'm talking about when women make the first move.
Yes.
She just is going. She's not.
Yeah. Oh, who am I going to run into?
Doing
there?
Anything crazy.
Yeah. She's
there.
She's
like keeping it open. Keeping the door open.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that is so the first move. Yeah, you're so right. And men have no idea and they think that it's all on them. They do.
It's like, no, I showed up here. No, I posted that cute picture of myself, actually.
Yeah.
For you to like it.
And this is one of my favorite lines, too, that you and I have quoted to each other. When Jane is going off to London and, Mr. Bennett, it's a good line. Mm-hmm. A girl likes to be crossed in love now and then. It gives her something to think of, a distinction amongst her companions.
You know, that's true.
It's so true. And it's fun to have a crush. But like, don't call me out like that, Mr. Bennett.
Like, I know.
You read me.
I know.
I don't appreciate being read like that. But yeah,
I know.
You're right.
I know.
It's a great line. And here we go we got the time passing scene. We got Lizzie on her little swing.
Excellent. Excellent cinematography.
Perfect. Yeah.
Loved it. That's how you make a time jump.
Yes. The seasons are changing.
Mm-hmm.
She's bored and alone. And we learn that.
Mr. Collins and Charlotte Lucas are now betrothed.
Yeah. Shocker of the century. That would be, I'm literally imagining. Yes. Another great line. I'm 27 years old. I've got no money and no prospects. And I'm frightened. But like, literally imagine. So I'm imagining, some weird little creep that has a crush on you. And then I come back to you and tell you that I am engaged to him. Like that is crazy. It's absolutely crazy nose. But he's ridiculous.
I know. I do think, unfortunately, Charlotte's lot in life was not to have a romantic match.
Yeah.
Which sucks. But she does have security, so that's...
Yeah, and she seems to be happy.
And she gets her own room eventually. So, yes, it's great.
And on her own parlor for her own particular use. It's all well in the end. And, you know, yeah. Lizzie...
So glad we didn't see them get married. Who cares?
Yeah, did not. We saw, okay, Charlotte leaves. Lizzie spins on her swing for a bit more, and it's a whole other season. And now she's going to visit them now that they're married. And like we said, Charlotte seems very happy. You know, she's all of a sudden obsessed with Lady Catherine, just like Mr. Collins.
Drinking the Kool-Aid for sure.
So Lizzie's visiting. They're invited to dinner at Downton Abbey, a.k.a. Rosings Park.
At Lady Catherine de Bourgh's. You know, and we get introduced to her daughter. Oh, her poor daughter.
Yeah. Oh, Anne.
Was betrothed to Darcy.
Darcy. Yeah. Eggs. But like every time the camera pans on to Judi Dench, it is a jump scare because she is so severe. She I really know. Is perfect. And I mean, she's one of the best.
You know how Joe convinced her to do this movie? He had never met her. Obviously, he's, you know, starting out doing feature films. And he goes and meets her. And he says, I just love it when you're evil. And then she said, okay, I'll do it.
Oh, I love her for that. And I love him. Good job. Yeah.
That was it.
Perfect. And her skinny little eyebrows that are, like, barely there. But, like, she looks so good. She's tan. Is more taut than I am. She is tan. Tight.
Moisturized.
Yes. Yeah. She looks great. And then her poor sickly little daughter, which
and
I'm sure is such a disappointment
little
for her.
Beady little glasses. Oh, they did not do her any favors with that. Mm-mm. Mm-mm. And then another jump scare.
Darcy.
You
didn't
see
here?
That 6'5" man in the room initially
staring at you.
I mean, okay, that room, there is really so much going on. Like the murals of the huge, like mythological, I don't even know what. There really is so much stuff packed into that room. So maybe he's just like hiding behind a room divider
like,
or something.
Or like some like stuffed animal of sorts. And like it's by far the darkest environment too.
Yeah.
Like, because it's old fashioned, it's stuffy. It's old, it's aristocratic, it's like a morgue, this fancy old morgue with this creepy old woman, scary old lady.
I know.
So this is where some shit goes down because they all go to church together. I'm very confused about the layout of this church because they're
all
facing different directions.
I've given up.
I don't know what to say about that, but every time
care.
I'm like, what's happening here?
I know. Where are we looking?
And why are we all not sitting by each other? Like, why is Lizzie and Fitzwilliam, this other friend, sitting together, looking across the room from Charlotte and Mr. Darcy?
I know. And talking shit in church.
Totally.
Very
so this
weird.
Is when we find out that Fitzwilliam tells Lizzie that Darcy broke up Jane
and she's like,
and Bingley.
And she's seething underneath the surface. You know it.
And she's like, everything I knew about you, I knew I didn't like you. And like, here's why. And she feels so vindicated, as I would.
Yeah. And she's obviously has firsthand experience dealing with him and his like sour mood and temper and everything. And then she hears the story from Mr. Wickham.
Yeah.
And is like, all right. And now you've fucked with my favorite person in the world, my sister.
Done.
Are you
Done.
Kidding me?
Yeah. Fitzwilliam says like he disapproved of the family too.
Yeah.
So it's like you ruin perhaps forever the happiness of a most beloved
sister
and like hate my whole family, basically. Me, I'm going to lump into that because I know you don't think much of me.
Like, what is the vendetta?
Yeah, that's so true. So she gets pissed and she runs off in the rain to this gorgeous, random, like, Greek, whatever it is.
It's like a pergola or something.
Yeah. And we got one of the best scenes in the movie.
I know.
What is there to say? It's perfect.
The tension.
They're wet. There's so much anger there. There's so much attraction. These like biting, seething insults to each other, like especially on her. And like the lines are delivered so perfectly. Mm-hmm. They're looking at each other's mouths. Like they're inches away from each other's face. So like they're going to kiss. They're about to kiss.
I know.
And her like literally smoky eye makeup. She looks like so much makeup on all of a sudden. Mm-hmm. Like she's serving face.
I know.
Oh, here's where we get Mr. Wickham's iconic line. His whole proposal. Yeah. What else is there to say?
It comes out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Comes out of thin air.
Can you imagine the one person like you hate the most is now proposing to you?
Yeah. And you're like, well, he's rich.
I know. That he's sucks. Really, really rich. Yeah.
But he's not too bad to look at either.
No, he's not. God, he is really looking good in this scene. Like, yeah. He's not necessarily my type.
No.
But I'm like, wow, you are looking beautiful, sir, in this scene.
So here is where they sort of lay it all out, right? Mm-hmm. All of their grievances. He doesn't like her because, you know, it's against his better judgment, et cetera, et cetera. We all know what he says. Mm-hmm. We all know his issues with liking her. Okay.
Yeah. Thanks for telling negging, me all the reasons why you really shouldn't work. Like me.
Okay. And also, I hate you too. So in what world did you think that this was going to pan out for you? Yeah. But, and then she says the issues that she has with him about Jane and, you know, Mr. Wickham and whatever, and his just general
horrible demeanor.
She just doesn't like him. Yeah. And so he then later drops off the letter, right?
The letter. So in this letter, he shows up while she's like in a nightdress and robe, which is utterly shocking.
I don't know if that's an artistic choice. It's a good one.
Yeah.
He's probably desperate to get his name cleared, you know?
Yeah.
About
it. For sure. He ran home and wrote this letter, clearing his name of every single
ink dry.
Yes. He's like, oh, I broke up you and your sister because I didn't think that she liked him very much. And let me tell you about Mr. Wickham. He tried to, you know, run away with my sister for money, convincing her that
and
he was in love with her.
From our family. Yeah.
Yeah. Essentially, that's it, right? Those are the two bad things so far that he addresses.
I think those are the main things, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And also, like, okay, so she's in her nightgown and robe, which is shocking, but also he's so disheveled. So, like, he is so not well. He's like, his cravat doesn't have one. His collar is all messed up, like, hair messed up, like, this random coat. He ran home, was so flustered, wrote this letter, ran back to deliver it to her. And so this is when we learn that Wickham is evil and Mr. Darcy is perfect. And she's like, fuck, ooh. I fucked up.
I mean, he's not perfect. Yeah.
No, but like,
he's got to fix some things.
This is when the real changes and she's
unveiling.
And and now she's turning. Her opinions of him are changing.
Mm-hmm.
And she goes home.
He's perfect. I'm sorry, you're not.
Lizzie goes home and Jane is back. She didn't see Bingley in London and she's like, I'm over him. Bitch, please.
Okay. You guys are the same person.
but London is so diverting. Uh-huh. Like, okay, I know you're stressed. Like, you wanted to see him every day, probably.
Yeah,
you're probably
you're
waiting to run into him.
Looking outside of the window every day. Before getting called on.
Yeah.
I hate that. It's like, you know, girls were doing that.
Yeah, waiting all day, every day.
Just at their house.
Yeah, how boring. How
it's like waiting
boring.
For a text, but someone to come over.
And Lizzie doesn't tell her anything about Darcy. Like, she keeps...
Yeah.
She's,
where is sister code? Hello?
I know. Like, she talks about Jane being so secretive. So they're all... I think she's just the same. Like, she's just a very private person.
Yeah.
This is when Mr. Bennet pisses us off for the biggest time. He is letting Lydia go to Brighton. despite
Lizzie's protestations of that. Yeah.
He doesn't give a fuck. He just wants an annoying daughter out of his hair. So off Lydia goes to Brighton, and, you know, it's not going to go well with the Fosters. Yeah. Not going to go well.
Yikes. Chasing the regiment. And then Lizzie goes on another little jaunt. They go to, wait, so I do want to touch on one of this, the most beautiful scenes is when the carriage breaks down and she's on this trip with her aunt and uncle.
Yes.
With the crawling, beautiful, huge mossy tree.
It's gorgeous. What a gorgeous, Joe really cannot help himself sometimes. And he's like, I'm going to find the most lavish, beautiful, natural setting.
Whoever his location scout.
That's so true. Mm-hmm. The location scouts really do incredible work. Christina, I love you. Christina. You're a wonderful location scout. here we have another one of my favorite lines. That savors strongly of bitterness. The aunt says to Lizzie when they're talking about how rich Mr. Darcy is or something like that.
Yeah.
Like, that's a big line in the Rory
house. What a snob you are.
It's so good.
He's just so rich. Which is like, you know, you're trying to find a reason to not go somewhere. Yes. Not go to Pemberley.
Yeah.
Because you're like, I cannot go to this man's house.
No. It's embarrassing. Not. It's embarrassing. And yet they do go. And I love how they pull up and they see it for the first time. And she just laughs to herself because, like, this could have been hers.
Could have been yours.
And of course, you know, they go on tour and she's staring at the marble bust of his face.
Wow. That gallery.
Gorgeous. Yes.
Someone was saying, I read this somewhere, that there were two specific statues that she stops at to look at. Mm-hmm. It's the veiled one, right? And that's her.
I've been so blind, what she says later in the movie.
And then the statue of Achilles, of him having the arrow in his Achilles tendon, and that's Darcy.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Because
he basically is like wounding him, you know, himself or whatever.
Yeah.
It's like this wounded guy. Yeah.
Or like she's his point of weakness.
I think there's
you can read
to
into things
there.
Yeah. Love that. All of a sudden she's just staring at the bust of his face, and then she loses her aunt and uncle and the housekeeper. Like, they're just gone.
I love how they can just go into someone's house.
I know.
For a tour.
Yeah, crazy.
Like, Georgiana is there.
Yeah.
Like, she was there the entire time. How are they letting people tour the house?
Yeah.
It seems so weird to me. I don't understand that.
I remember learning this because I took a great class when I studied abroad, and it was called The Real Life Downton Abbey, which is obviously like 100 years plus later. But that was a way for people to just make more money. You charge tours of your house. But like later on, you know, like, I don't think Darcy is particularly needing money, but like that was just like a thing people did. Like, you can go and tour these estates.
That's so interesting.
For money. Yeah. And I imagine,
like, if people are home,
they probably don't show them the private areas. Yeah. It's like, here's our sculpture. Here's like the art galleries and like the library, or maybe. And that's and like the grand foyer.
But that's like, true.
She's just loses her party and is just wandering the house. And that's when she stumbles upon Georgiana.
Oh my God.
Our little angel
that
cherub.
Part of when Lizzie gets caught looking at them makes me want to die.
Well,
I want to evaporate.
And I
like,
would
just
do the same.
Imagine that happening to
imagine you. Imagine you're him. You're hanging out with your sister. You glance and there is your crush that you just proposed to looking at you through a crack in the door.
And she just freaking runs, bolts through multiple galleries, multiple rooms. Like, how long did that run take to get out of the house? And he's just taking
running
off
after
her.
Absolutely hilarious. Like,
just so embarrassing.
Yeah. And then the way like they interact, like you see him smile and like laugh for the first time because he's like, he's teasing her. Like, it's embarrassing. It's silly. But like his quick little smile and laugh chills.
Okay. That was the first time that I was like, it caught my heart a little bit. That, like, I was like, oh.
Yeah. Yeah.
And how she talks about how she loves to walk. And he said, yes.
I know. Like, and like, it's like this wall has been broken down now between them. Like, there's,
he's seen,
they know everything about each other.
Yeah.
The letter, all the,
or she's
like,
in the house.
And like, the air hasn't been cleared necessarily, but like, the truth is out. So, right. And now they're like, how do we deal with this with each other?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So he's like, I'm not letting this opportunity pass me by. I'm going to go talk to her aunt and uncle.
Yeah, I'm going
to
charm them.
This is what you want in a man.
Absolutely.
Someone to go to your family, you know, say, just come for dinner.
Come
just
fish. Come. Something very pleasant about his mouth when he speaks.
His manner of talking. I know. I get it and agree.
Absolutely. He can turn on the charm we're seeing.
Yeah, his wall is down for sure.
Yeah.
So they go there. Obviously, she meets Georgiana officially and not through a freaking like
crack in the door.
Crack in the door. I know. And Georgiana is clued in.
Oh, she
knows the energy, knows the vibes. She's a girl's girl.
She so is. And she's like teasing her brother. Like,
yeah.
Brother, you have
you
a crush.
You must force her.
Yeah.
You must force her.
Yeah. But he says you play so well.
I said you play quite well.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that is different. I'm quite satisfied.
And like, this is when you
it's
realize
like this banter. That,
and we
the banter
know
is happening.
We know in the book, and we know in the 1995 BBC series, that he's very open about his crush on Lizzie to his friends. And I assume
you don't
sister,
see that.
And you don't see that here. And this is when you realize, he's been talking about her.
He's talking, chatting her up.
Yeah. Like, it's not like it's not news to anyone. It was news to Lizzie.
It's news to Lizzie.
But it's not news to anyone else.
I know. That's so true.
Yeah. Oh, I just love it.
I know.
All smiles. Everyone's cute. Happy.
I know. And then obviously he takes them home or takes them back to the hotel. And then she gets the letter.
Yes.
The letter saying that Lydia has absconded with the evil Mr. Wickham.
Just tragedy. Who could have seen this coming?
So in writing this scene, you know who helped? Is Emma Thompson.
Oh,
she wrote this scene.
Brilliant.
Of Lizzie reading the letter and then going behind that like room divider and then not being able to speak and then going back again.
Yeah, I love that.
Brilliant. That is so Emma Thompson. Like, knowing that, I'm like, it is so her. She's
so her.
Yeah.
Like the character, she can do like pull out characters brilliantly.
Yes.
I think like in like character acting, but in a subtle, real way.
I know. I love that. I love that scene. God, it's kind of embarrassing. It is embarrassing to have to admit this family. It's almost like a family fault that happened because now it's on the family.
Yes.
This
and we're all ruined.
That Lydia made.
And like, you're witnessing a very private, intimate family moment. I'm sobbing. Yeah. And he leaves and little do we know.
The fire
Darcy
is
to the
lit
rescue.
Under him. Yeah. And he said, all right, I see my way to solve this. I am going to make it right.
Which we don't know until later. So we all get back to the Bennett home and Lydia has returned happily married to Mr. Wickham.
Yikes.
Fuck him, you.
Him pulling her down in the carriage after she stands up.
Yeah.
Ooh, abusive. That's...
Imagine you're Lizzie, this man that you really liked, find out he's terrible. And now he's like, and he's like giving her the eyes almost, like not flirty, but like, obviously there's all this tension and like him just looking at her. I'm like, don't you fucking look at me.
I know. And she knows everything and she can't say anything.
Yeah. And she should have said something. Like, speak up. That, like, you could have at least told that to your siblings.
Is like, any, like,
that's juicy gossip.
That's exactly what I was going to say. Even just the pure fact, even if no one liked him, even if there was no feelings involved about this random man, you saying this juicy ass gossip to your sisters.
Yeah. And you don't need to say
that would have happened.
You don't need to say how you got to where you learned that gossip.
No.
You can just say that Mr. Darcy confided in me, or Colonel Fitzwilliam confided in me.
Yeah.
You know, or Georgiana.
Lizzie's too good.
Yeah,
she's
she
too
is.
Good.
That was a fault of hers.
Mm-hmm.
And then this is where we learn Lydia tells Lizzie, like, you can't say anything, but Darcy paid for Wickham's commission, the wedding, everything. He's not half as high and mighty as he seems sometimes.
Mr. Darcy.
Like,
she's incredulous. Like, she can't believe it.
Yeah.
She's like, I don't even think she's like excited or anything. I just think she's purely shocked by this.
Yeah. And it was all for her.
Mm-hmm.
I love when men do things that you know it's for someone else, but you know it's for you. Like, oh, what
you
power.
You know it's for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then obviously we see the boys. The boys walking.
The boys are back. Mr.
Walking
Bingley.
Back.
Mr. Darcy.
Mr. Darcy is obviously escorting his little friend who needs a little encouragement.
Yeah. It's like
to go into this den of women.
Yeah. And you know that Mr. Darcy was like, Bingley, he probably apologized and was like, you got to put it, like, we got to make this right. Like, you love this girl.
Yeah.
Go get your girl. Like,
and
I'm going to help you.
He was
you.
Like, I was wrong.
Yeah, I'm sure.
I was wrong.
Like,
and
Bingley's probably lovesick. Like, he's probably sad. He probably misses her too. You know, that darling angel.
He's literally a golden retriever.
He is.
Just
so sweet.
Not
a
big
sweetie.
Reader. And yet he just loves her.
Yeah. And I love the scene how they see the boys coming to the house and they're all like, Mrs. Bennet is laying with like a little
a plate
of cookies on her stomach. And like, you know, everyone's probably.
That's so real.
The image of boredom captured is so real.
Excellent.
Yeah. And like, they're probably mending some old dress and whatever. And like, just this frenzy of like, oh my God, the men are coming. We have to look presentable
look cute
and interesting.
And, casual.
And like, yeah. Oh, I'm just sitting here with my perfect posture reading like this.
Mm.
And like, Jane has never looked so good as she looked in this scene. Like, what did she's so
the little
rosy.
Flush?
Yeah. Okay, well, her mom comes and pinches her cheeks, and like, she looks so good.
Angelic.
Yeah. Doesn't Miss Bennet say, like, oh, Jane, my Jane looks quite well, does she not? Mr. Bingley.
Staring.
Yes, she does.
And then obviously they leave. Chicken out.
He chickens out. Yeah.
And
Darcy
then,
is like surprised. He's like, oh,
yeah.
I guess we're leaving now.
Yeah, I guess we're leaving. And then hypes him up again.
Yeah.
And he goes back
and
asks
walks
her
right
to
in.
Marry him.
Just marches right in. No announcement.
Honestly, I like a man with a plan, so might as well.
Walks right in.
He has been invited to come to dinner. So
at least three courses. Yeah. And like, I love how frank he is with her. Like, I've been an ass.
Like, good.
It's not like, again, not the most eloquent proposal speech. I wouldn't expect that from him, but he's just like,
no,
I've been an idiot and I'm sorry.
They don't touch. Do you notice that?
Yeah. They're like kids.
I know.
Silly little
they
kids.
They are kids. Yeah.
There's
and
an
she
innocence.
Tears up and she's just
yes
laughing. So cute.
A thousand times yes.
Oh,
so good.
So cute.
So the household's so happy. We have our young, innocent, happy lovers are engaged.
I'm sorry, Jane's hair.
Oh, it's
when
perfect.
Oh.
She looks so good in this scene.
Her hair is like a Renaissance painting. The way the light captures it.
Gorgeous.
In the candlelight. Oh.
Yeah. And
he thought it was indifferent.
Oh, no. He's so silly.
He didn't know I was in town.
Yeah. Yeah, so like, everyone's happy, everyone's going to bed. We're in PJs, we're literally in bed.
Mm-hmm.
And they hear a carriage coming down the drive.
Mm-hmm.
And who
who
is it?
Could it be with her phaeton and ponies?
Lady Catherine de Bourgh, this bitch, charging into their house.
I know.
With some words to say.
I really love this fight because she is all guns blazing coming in at Lizzie, and Lizzie's like, I do not pretend to have equal frankness.
Yeah.
She's not going to answer her dumbass questions that are none of her business.
Yes, exactly. Darcy's engaged to my daughter. That's this engagement's in plans since her infancy. Okay, great.
Because he's like, what does that have to do with me?
Yeah, then that's, if that's your plan.
Why is that my problem?
If that's your plan, like, I don't know why you're coming to me for this. Do you want me to prove of this?
He had already asked to marry me, but yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Did he take that up with him?
But she handles this so well.
Masterfully.
Yeah. And, you know, so it's like, you've insulted me and can't have anything further to say. Please leave.
But I think the main takeaway from this conversation, right, is that she doesn't promise that she won't be engaged to Mr. Darcy.
Yeah, she can't say it.
And because she knows now he's fixed everything.
Yeah.
He had told her about Mr. Wickham, fixed the thing with Jane, fixed the thing with Lydia.
He's been fully redeemed in her eyes.
And this is her move to show that she's open to this.
Her decision has been made. And this, we have in this scene, one of the best insults to ever be thrown out in a movie. Heaven and earth, are the shades of Pemberley to be thus polluted? Like that every time I'm like, whoa, like I wish I could throw out an insult like that because it is so good. Like perfectly delivered by Dame Judy. So great. Lady Catherine leaves in a huff, pissed. What can you do? Sorry.
Everyone's confused. Yeah. They don't know what's going on.
Yeah. For once in your life, leave me alone.
And rightfully so. She kind of gets bombarded by her family all the time. They're very confused. Obviously, she leaves them in the dark.
Mm-hmm.
But
she shut it down.
She can't sleep.
No.
She can't sleep.
And what does she love to do? She loves to go on walks. And it's dawn. The sun is barely up. It's almost there.
The fog, the mist.
The fog, the mist, the fields, the green, lush. Who do we see on the horizon? In a long coat and an undone shirt. It's Mr. Darcy.
Oh, God, it's Mr. Darcy. Wow. Him trudging through the field. If I was her, I would be like, all right, here we go.
Again, Joe Wright, a man walking in a field can be so iconic and so beautiful. Yeah. Oh, he has things to say. He has something to ask again.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Thinking he might get a different answer this time.
Mm-hmm. He's got a clue that he might.
Mm-hmm. And also, again, may I just say, her makeup is insane here. She, again, has this matte skin with this dark blush and eyeliner and eyeshadow. It's like, every time to me, it's shocking. But like,
I know. She looks good.
She looks
good. But
great.
Yeah, I get it. It's like,
what a choice
would that
here.
Happen? No.
Yeah.
Like, you give her no makeup for the dance hall scenes, and yet this one, you're...
Yeah.
She's contoured.
The two proposal scenes are like full face of makeup, like a going out,
full
to
beat.
The bars, full beat.
And we get, obviously,
my thoughts and wishes have not changed, but one mere word from you will silence me forever. But yeah, he says, I can't remember the quote, but he says something about like, yeah, I've been given hope again. Mm-hmm. And I have to ask you again, basically.
Because Lady Catherine is pissed.
Yeah.
He said, I heard you saw my aunt.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, she was here.
I heard what you said.
Let's talk about
it. So I have questions. Yeah. Let's address this finally.
And we get the, you know, you bewitched me body and soul. And I love you. And I never wish to be parted from you from this day on. Please.
And your hands are cold. Oh.
Okay. I want to talk about this. Because I think that is a very particular line choice, and I'm not sure I understand it. Like, is it just calling out that, like, they can hold each other's hands?
How I take it is he's asked for her hand in marriage, and she takes his hand to accept.
Yeah.
Is how I see it.
Yeah, that's
it is
so
weird.
Right. Yeah.
There is I feel like there could be another way to do it.
Yeah. Like,
but it's subtle. In the way that Joe Wright is subtle.
Yeah.
So I'm not mad about it.
Yeah. And again, they're just holding hands and like.
And
it's
he walked
not...
through an entire field for her and, you know, wherever the hell he was.
Yeah.
I'm sure it was not close.
No, he was probably at another field park, but like, how far away is that? you know, miles.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
But like, couple miles. And I think it's like, okay, we've seen them briefly touch hands and like now they can just stare at each other's face, put their foreheads together and like hold hands, I
in
guess.
The sunrise. I know.
And then he looks so massive next to her. Like every time I think like how giant his head looks, like she looks so small. It's like he is this statuesque figure who is just like obsessed with her.
And then obviously she has to go talk to her dad and be like,
Dad, guess what?
Guess what?
I'm in love. I've been so blind.
He's done a lot for us. And here's what he's, you know, here's what he's done. X, Y, and Z.
Yeah.
And the tears that he does.
Yeah.
And the giggling.
It's so beautiful.
I know. And he realizes that she's met her match.
What is so sweet, I have a personal story, is when my sister got engaged to my brother-in-law, Andy, my dad said, if any young men come for Catherine, for heaven's sake, send them in. I'm quite at my leisure. I was like, Bob, you're so cute.
Oh, he's such a girl dad.
Such a girl dad, yeah. And like the fact that he has that line memorized.
I know.
It's hilarious. Like,
oh, he locked that away. He locked that away.
Yeah. He loves, my dad loves Mr. Bennett's aesthetic. Like he wants to be like the long,
I can see that.
The English, old Englishman, like long eyebrows and things. Like he likes that. And so, but I just like, I cried when he said that for me. It was so cute. Also, a fact that I learned about the walk through the field, back to Matthew McFadden. That apparently he has really bad eyesight, and it's like, at least for me, anyone, you know, who might need glasses or whatever, there are certain times of day where it's really hard to see, and this was like dawn being and dusk being one of them, like very hard to see, and it's like this misty dawn morning and this man cannot see a thing. Like, why can he give him some contacts? It's a long shot from far away.
Interesting.
But Joe Wright was like behind the camera with like a red flag, like, come this way, come that way.
That's so funny.
Real life behind this like beautiful romantic shot, like this man could not see, and
he
like
he doesn't know where he's going.
No
general
he
direction.
Could have stumbled completely. Like I'm might maybe so he did, but yeah,
that's
that was
so funny.
Cute little behind the scenes.
And then we end at Pemberley.
Yeah.
But it doesn't end for the UK version at Pemberley, does it?
It ends, the UK version ends in the field, I think. When your hands are cold, like that's it. Because
not even the Mr. Ben. Oh my God.
I don't think so. Because the UK audience, they tested it. And don't quote me on that because I've seen this before and I couldn't find it. But they said that this ending that the U.S. had, which is them at Pemberley, like after they've been married, was too corny. They thought it was too cheesy.
I don't care if it's corny.
And it's not even. We finally get to see this couple who we've been yearning to get together for 2.5 hours. They're finally together, like, and we get a minute of it.
I know.
We need that.
It is cute. What are they sitting on? Are they sitting on like just a table or something?
It's like a stone table. I think it's very interesting. Like in their pajama, like they've been having sex all day. You already know. And then they go and sit outside and they're just besotted with each other. And like finally we get that little bit of payoff.
He's smitten.
Oh,
he's so smitten. I love it.
My pearl. I'm sorry. That is so
my
cute.
My pearl for Sundays.
Yes. You may only call me Mrs. Darcy when you are perfectly and incandescently happy.
How are you doing today, Mrs. Darcy? Kissing her eyelids, her face.
Stop it. Like,
lock Joe right up.
Yeah.
Put him in jail.
This man, he knows what he's doing. And bravo to him. And that is Pride and Prejudice 2005. Thank you, everyone, for coming on this journey. This is
just
so
something
fun.
New we're trying.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, we can talk for hours and hours and hours. There is so much to dissect here, but I don't know, just a little silly episode for you guys.
Let us know any fun facts that we may have missed, because I would love to hear. And let us know how you like this, because I thought it was really fun. Or if there are other movies you want us to do in the future. yeah, yeah, let us know.
Let us know. Ciao.